Thank you for joining us again this evening for our live stream service. And as much as I'm sure none of us would have wanted to have to face the challenges of the COVID-19 pandemic and the various actions in response to that that our state is taking in order to keep us all safe, there is something, you know, kind of encouraging and exciting about being a little bit in uncharted territory, so to speak. Too often we think we're in control. We think we've got things pretty much figured out and kind of know where things are headed. But right now, most of us are a bit confused, and we are certainly confronted with our own insufficiency to sort it out, to figure things out. And that's a good thing, because it prompts us to depend on the Lord like we should all the time. But sometimes God brings about circumstances that particularly draw us to focus on Him and our need for Him. And I don't know about you, but I'm finding a lot of things to be encouraged about, things I never would have planned. Preaching to a nearly empty auditorium with a big group watching and listening online, that's kind of surreal for a techno dinosaur like me. So, you know, but I see the Lord's hand and folks commenting that, you know, God's word is helping them. And I see our church family reaching out to each other and being a help and encouragement to each other, and our various teachers and others just looking for ways to connect and continue to minister to one another. And this is nothing that we would have ever orchestrated, but it was all in God's plan. And God is using this, I think, to grow us and strengthen us. And I trust that as individuals and as a church family, we will, when we get back to what, you know, we used to think of as normal, when we get back to normal, we'll be the better for it and the stronger for it. And we'll have a greater appreciation for the things that right now we don't have access to, and excited to see how God can work through all kinds of different circumstances. So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer here, and then we'll head to God's word tonight. Our Father, we are thankful that even in difficult and trying times, that You are our great God. You love us. You watch over us. You bring nothing into our lives that is not intended for our good. It's not intended to draw us closer to You. So, Lord, even with the situation with the coronavirus here, we are thankful for the many evidences we see of Your good hand, of Your powerful working. And, Father, we're thankful for the openness that is there among people who otherwise might have no interest in the things of God. I'm thankful for people who listen to online messages like this one and others going on all around the world who might otherwise never set foot in a church and might never have chosen to listen and give thought to the Word of God. So we pray, Father, that You would powerfully accomplish all of Your purposes through this time. We ask Your blessing on this service. I pray that You would just knit our hearts together, even though we're far apart geographically, so to speak. But just unite us in spirit. Turn our attention to Your Word. I pray that Your Spirit would minister the truth of Your Word in our hearts this evening. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So tonight we're going to be starting a new sermon series. And in this series we will be looking at some of the names that we have for God given to us in the Bible. And my calling as a pastor, and this is true for any pastor, not just me, but my calling is to encourage you to a closer walk with God and a greater measure of dependence upon Him. Obviously, other things as well, but that's certainly of great importance. And preaching is one of several important means that God uses in all of our lives to that end. So when I stand up to preach, you know, probably my greatest desire is to stir you up to trust God more. You know, wherever you're at, whatever is going on in your life, whatever the needs are, I think the need for all of us is that we would look to the Lord more, that we would depend upon Him more, that we would trust in Him more. And Psalm 9 and verse 10 tells us that people who know God's name will trust Him. So if I can help you, if I can help us know the name of God better, I believe that God can use that to strengthen our confidence in Him and in his care for us, you know, no matter what obstacles, no matter what trials confront us. So each Wednesday here for the next probably 6-8 weeks, I'm going to draw our attention to a different name for God. Now, I understand that here in Psalm 9 and verse 10, when David speaks of knowing God's name, he's not talking about simple familiarity with the various names that are used in reference to God. But I will say this, in the Bible generally, and in the Old Testament specifically, names are much more than just a way to refer to someone. They're a lot more than just a label, some way to connect information with a certain person. Names are used in the Bible to represent the person's character or maybe his or her mission or some particular ability. They're used often symbolically, sometimes commemorating a particular event. Let me just give you a few of hundreds of examples. Genesis 3, verse 20. It says that Adam called his wife's name Eve, and the name Eve means life or living. And why that name? Because she was the mother of all living. 1 Samuel 25, 25, we read this, "Let not my Lord," this is Abigail speaking, "I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly," Nebalah is what the word is with him. You know, and the word Nabal means fool, basically. And she says, that's his name, and it's fitting because that describes who he is. Now, the importance of a person's name is accentuated when God himself is the one giving the name. And it's maybe of even greater significance when God changes someone's name. You know, for example, God changes Abram's name to Abraham, to show that he had made him the father of many nations. You can read about that in Genesis 17. Also in Genesis 17, God changed Sarai's name to Sarah, promising that she would be the mother of nations and of kings. In Genesis 32 and verse 28, God changes Jacob's name to Israel. He said, "Thy name shall no more be called Jacob, but Israel," which means something like triumphant with God. "For," or "because, as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." You know, so no longer was he going to be, you know, the Jacob, the schemer. He is going to be Israel, the prince with God. And, often Christian parents choose biblical names for their children. And sometimes they do so in hopes that their child might live up to the meaning of the name or maybe follow in the footsteps of the biblical character for whom they've named that child. So it shouldn't surprise us that we don't see a lot of Christian kids named Nabal, right? You know, nobody wants to name their child Fool, hoping that he's going to live up to that. You know, we choose other names, you know, that kind of are regarded with respect and kind of nobility and things that we would want our children to aspire to. But we do that in kind of a wishful and aspirational sense. But God has the right and the power to cause anyone he names to become what the name suggests. And the names that God gives are sure indicators of the destiny of those that he names. And if you think about it, folks, when God gives names to himself, right? The Bible is God's word, so the names of God that we read in the Bible, those are from God. When God gives names to himself, we can be sure that each of those names is packed with, you know, who he is and what he intends to do. And of course, God doesn't choose names for himself at random. He chooses names for the sake of revealing things about himself, sometimes tied to a specific situation to show how that quality of who he is manifested itself in the lives of this person or that person in the Old Testament. And God reveals himself to us in order to deepen our love for him and in order to enlarge our admiration for him, in order to strengthen our faith. And that's what I hope is going to be the result of this sermon series, of this study. Just as Psalm 9 and verse 10 says, "And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee. So that's going to be our theme verse for this series that I'm entitling Trusting in God by Name. Trusting in God by Name. That's also the title of the message tonight as we just kind of introduce this series. So let's have a word of prayer and then we'll continue. Our Father, thank you that you have revealed yourself to us through your word. Thank you for the accounts we have that teach us by precept and by example. Sometimes it's doctrinal and instructional. Sometimes it's a narrative of a historical event. And use all these different ways to help us get a sense of who you are, of what's important to you, of your power, your might, your wisdom, your plan. Just what an amazing God you are to us. And you've shown us that in your word. I pray, Father, that as we spend some time just looking at the names that you give yourself in the Word of God, names that you give us that we might appreciate you more, love you more, trust in you more, I pray that you would bring that to pass in our lives. Help us to be attentive now, just in these next few minutes as we spend a little bit of time on this subject. Help us in the weeks to come as we dig deeper into some of these names to just flourish in our appreciation for you. And Lord, I do pray if there is someone listening to this message tonight who has never trusted Jesus as their Savior from sin, I pray that you would help them to understand that the name Jesus means that Jehovah God is salvation, that there is salvation to all who will turn to Jesus in saving faith, not works, not trying harder or doing better, but trusting in what Jesus has done when he went to the cross and shed his blood and gave his life to pay the penalty for our sin, that we might receive the gift of eternal life. So, Father, I ask that you would accomplish your purposes in the heart and the life of each person listening to this message, whether they're listening live, whether they're listening here a few days down the road. I pray that you would be honored through it. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So for the remainder of our time this evening, I want to spend a few minutes looking primarily at the first couple of verses from a very familiar psalm. That's Psalm 91. So let me ask you to turn there if you would, please. Psalm 91. And if you're at home, I'll take just a moment here to let you run across the room if you need to and grab your Bible off the shelf. But I really want to encourage you to look at the words of this psalm, to consider what God says here. So Psalm 91, our text is going to be the first two verses. And in these two verses, we are going to see four different names for God. And we will be examining those names in greater detail down the road and other names as well. But for tonight, I just want to offer some encouragement connected with those four names as David, the psalmist, has brought them together here in this account. And we see some of those names recur later on in the psalm as well. But right out of the gate, he draws our attention to different names for God and with some significance to what that means for us. So let's take a look here. Psalm 91, verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, there's the first name, shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, there's the second. I will say of the Lord, there's the third, he is my refuge and my fortress. Now those are descriptions more so, not so much names. He is my God. There's the fourth name. In him will I trust. You know, we should probably read the whole psalm, even though we're focusing on those first two verses, and I'll try to do so here without comment, okay? Or minimal comment, but just so you can kind of take it all in. And again, most of you are familiar with this, but let's just continue. Verse 3, he says, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. We probably don't use the word noisome so much. We use noisy, but you could translate noisome pestilence as deadly plague. Sound familiar to anything going on in our world, right? He'll deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly plague. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence, that's that same word again, that walketh, the idea is that stalks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, there's a name, which is my refuge, even the Most High, there's another, and both of those names are in verses 1 and 2. The Most High is thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague, that's a different word, but it's the idea of disease, come nigh thy dwelling. Verse 11, for he shall give his angels charge over thee. This is a messianic passage that Jesus speaks of later, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in thy hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Verse 14, look at this. Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. That's God speaking. I will set him on high. And then look at this. Because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. You know, folks, that is an amazing psalm. And if you were to, not that any of the Bible is not amazing, okay, but you know, it's just really is, especially when you think about, you know, the crisis in our world today and all the fear that is out there and all the insecurity and the concern for disease and plague, if you will. And here are just words of encouragement and assurance from God. And I would say that if you were to just keep reading that psalm over, you know, several times each day and meditate upon it, and if you were to do that for a while, you can't help but be encouraged. Your faith can't help but be strengthened. Now, we're going to get back to the opening two verses. And what I'm going to do is suggest for us a propositional statement, if you will, that relates to each of the four names that we find in verses 1 and 2. And these will be real straightforward. You'll just see them fall out very simply from the verse itself. But here's the first statement. I live under the protection of the Most High God. Right? Verse 1 begins, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. And the name here that's translated Most High is Elyon. E-L-Y-O-N. Oftentimes we'll see this referred to as El Elyon, because usually what we find in the Old Testament is Most High, that's Elyon, and then El, which is God. So El Elyon, the Most High God. Here the psalmist just uses Elyon, that part of it, but this is a common name for God, referring to him as the Most High. And the name Elyon points to God as the sovereign owner and ruler of the universe. It's kind of a word of superlativeness, if there is such a thing. It speaks of our glorious God as the supreme one, the one who is above all other powers and all other authorities. And we're told that we dwell in the secret place of the Most High. The secret place is a place of shelter. It's a place where we are kept close to the Most High God, where we are protected by the Most High God. Now, that's all I'm going to say. These are going to be really simple tonight because I just really want you to think about what it says. And we'll look at this name in fuller measure in a future session, but I just want you to take the point. We are secure because we are under the protection of the one who rules over all. Now, this isn't going to be really exciting here in the auditorium with just a handful of us, But I'm going to have us say this together. So that means if you're at home, you say it too, okay? It'll appear here up on the screen, and we're going to read it together. I won't hear you. You'll hear me. But sometimes there's something good about just affirming truths from the Scripture with our own lips. and speaking them, so to speak, to ourselves. So even if you're listening at home alone or maybe there with your family, then you say these things together. But let's say this first statement together: I live under the protection of the Most High God. You know, I hope you believe that. Right at this moment, right? When you're thinking about COVID-19 and you know, am I going to contract that or maybe someone I love? Listen, you live under the protection of the Most High God. That doesn't mean you may not get sick. And it certainly doesn't mean we're never going to die, but always we are under the protection of the Most High God. We are in the secure place that He has established for us, the secret place held in His hand, as it were. I live under the protection of the Most High God. Number two, I rest in the shadow of the All-Powerful One. Verse 1 says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall also abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Now, the Hebrew word here that's translated the Almighty is Shaddai. And again, oftentimes in the Old Testament, we see Shaddai El, or El Shaddai, the Almighty God. Here it's the Almighty, but it has that idea of the Almighty God. And the name Shaddai, as you've surmised, means all-powerful. Or, you know, the term we often use is omnipotent. Our God can do everything. He can do anything. Nothing is too hard for Him. Nothing is impossible for Him. All that He promises, He can do. I could make you promises that I can't do, that I can't deliver on. When God makes a promise, nothing can He keep Him from doing what He has promised. No man, no demon, no other power can thwart God's ways. He is an almighty, invincible God. And we can abide. We can rest secure in that. We rest in His shadow, near to Him. You know, he's shielding us from the scorching sun even. We rest peacefully, calmly, securely, comfortably in His shadow. So again, let's say this all together here. Number two, I rest in the shadow of the All-Powerful One. Folks, again, I trust you believe that. You know, you don't have to be fearful. You don't have to be nervous. You don't have to be all worried, because you rest. You can rest. You should rest in the shadow of the All-Powerful One. Third name in this passage. Well, here's the statement. The Lord is my refuge and my fortress. Okay, verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. Now, the Lord here translates the personal name of God. You know, in English, we use words like God and different descriptors, but in Hebrew, these are individual words that are presented to us as names for God. And this is the way that God identified Himself to His people. Remember when Moses was there at the burning bush and he says, you know, when I go to your people and I say that I've spoken with you and here's what you have told me, they are going to say, as was common in those days, every nation, they had their gods. They had named gods. And so Moses says, what shall I tell them? What's your name? What do I say to them? And you remember what God said? God said, I am that I am. Tell them, I am hath sent thee. And the Hebrew word is Yahweh, okay? Hebrew doesn't deal in vowels, so it's kind of Y-H-W-H. We sometimes write it Yahweh. But in English, we render it as Jehovah. So when you see Jehovah, that's a reference to this name. I am, literally, it means He is. You know, Moses goes and the people say, what's His name? And he says, He is. Yahweh. Jehovah. And that is the way that God identifies Himself, as the God of His people, as the self-existent, personal God to His people. In the King James translation, whenever you encounter Jehovah, it's written as Lord with the O-R-D in the small capital letters. That's just a way of indicating to you that this isn't Lord with all small letters, often is Adonai. Here, Lord, or with the small capital letters, is Jehovah. And it's the name that God uses to tie Himself to his people, to us. If you know Christ as your Savior, you are God's people. And he is your Jehovah. He is who he is to you. He's your Lord. He's my Lord. He's our Lord. The one with whom we have a personal relationship. And he says, listen, I'm your refuge and I'm your fortress. You can flee to me and be safe and be secure. You know, this is the name of the loving God who is always there for his people, we might say. In the New Testament, of course, the Lord himself appears among his people as Emmanuel, which means God with us. The L is always God. Emmanuel means near to, a God with us. And of course, that's a reference to Jesus. And you remember those instances where Jesus was bold enough to apply the equivalent to the Hebrew term Yahweh, Jehovah. He would say, I am, right? And they understood what he was saying. He was declaring himself to be Jehovah come in the flesh. You know, folks, for us, Jesus is the one who meets us in our need. He's the one through whom we pray to the Father. He, in particular, is our refuge and our fortress. So again, let's say this statement together, and I've got the my's in all caps. So I want you to read with expressiveness here, and let's emphasize the my's as we read it. Okay, so number three, the Lord is my refuge and my fortress. Okay, not just everybody else's, mine. He is your God. He knows you personally. He is there for you. Lastly, I can trust in my God who created all things. Verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, there's the name. In him will I trust. Now the Hebrew word here that's translated God is the name Elohim. And this is the most common of the names for God. It's used in reference to God something in excess of 2,500 times in the Old Testament. It's typically translated God. And it's actually, Elohim is a plural form. And Bible students refer to that as a plural of majesty. You know how kings refer to themselves as we did this, right? You know, that's just kind of a common thing of older English, was the plural is used as a majestic reference. And so this is the God of majesty, the God worthy of honor. In particular, Elohim is the maker of the universe. He's the supreme creator of all life. You know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's Elohim. He created everything from nothing. The heavens, the earth, all that in them is. And nothing, since he's created it all, nothing is outside of his control. And so when we face the things of this life, they all flow from his creative power. We don't need to be afraid. Because he is the one who has created it all, he sustains it all, he superintends it all, he orchestrates it all, and whatever he allows in your life, in my life, whatever he allows to affect and influence our church family, our extended families, this all comes from the one who is the source of life, who is the creator of everything. And so we can trust in him. So let's say that fourth statement together. I can trust in my God who created all things. Now, some of you are amazed because you have never heard me preach with that degree of succinctness before, right? I'm tend to be an elaborator and an expander and an explainer. But for tonight, I just really wanted to hit us very briefly and concisely with just what's right there in those two very short verses. It's just kind of an illustration of the benefit that flows to us just from getting a glimpse of what is revealed to us about God through his names. So next week we are going to go back to Jehovah and you will find out how elaborate that can be explained. Okay, we'll delve into that more deeply and more richly and kind of trace out some of the places that we find that name used in the Old Testament and how what that teaches us about what it means more fully and what God is to us. So that's where we're headed in this study. But tonight, just kind of an introduction that there is great benefit to us to think about what is revealed to us by the names that God gives to himself. So I hope you'll just kind of think on that, read through that psalm some more, meditate on those things, and just in case you thought you were done having to speak tonight, okay, one last time. So now these are a little bit smaller font because I wanted to keep all four of them on the same page. I hope you're able to read it. But again, we're just going to walk right through these. We won't even say the numbers. We'll just make the statement, pause, next statement, pause, and work our way through them. And I hope that as you say them, you are affirming that you believe these things in your soul. And I hope you're allowing them to be an encouragement to you. And there's some benefit to just taking them all right together, one after another. So let's say them together. Number one, I live under the protection of the Most High God. I rest in the shadow of the All-Powerful One. The Lord is my refuge and my fortress. I can trust in my God who created all things. Isn't there encouragement? Isn't there security just in those very simple, straightforward thoughts? Folks, let's trust in God by name, so to speak, according to his name, on the basis of his names that reveal to us who he is. Father, we're thankful for these passages, thankful for this time that we could spend this evening. And Lord, I ask your blessing now as we spend a little bit of time together in prayer. I pray that during this time when we are bound to be home more, when for many of us, though not all of us, but for many of us, the pace of life has slowed by necessity. And I pray, Father, that that would afford us some extra time to pray, some extra time to read, some extra time to meditate, some extra time to just allow your Spirit to minister to our souls and to use us to be an encouragement to minister to one another. So I pray, Father, that where there is fearfulness, where there's insecurity, where there is unease, where there is worry, that you would use your word, that you would use your names to push those things aside and in their place build faith and confidence in you. Indeed, you are a God who can be trusted for so many reasons. So we ask your blessing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Just a couple of...